It's quite amazing what's going on, and you don't know what's true and what's not. I want to start with the fires. The fires that are going on now, it is in Portland, Oregon. It's so bad. It is literally the worst air quality in the world today is in Portland. It's on fire. Now, there are those people that are saying, oh, this, you know what this is? This is coordinated attacks. Okay. All right. Let me give you this from Law Enforcement Today. The Ashland, Oregon police chief weighed in on the Oregonian. The one thing I can say is that the rumor that these fires are set by Antifa is 100% false information. We have some leads, but none of it points into that direction. A spokesperson for the Oregon Department of Forestry spoke to the New York Times. We are not seeing any indications of mass politically influenced arson campaign. Okay. So we have it from the Ashland, Oregon police, and we have it from the Oregon Department of Forestry. But here's what else we have. A number of wildfires in Washington, Oregon, and California are being considered as arson. Several of the arsonists are in jail, and while they're more on the run, police are looking for them, we are told. On Wednesday of last week, troopers in Puyallup, Washington, said they arrested a 36-year-old Puyallup man caught setting fire in the brush. This was along State Route 167 in Puyallup in the median. The fire started to spread. Puyallup police closed the northbound ramp on the highway. He told troopers he was just looking for a camera. They took the suspect to jail. Another arson suspect was arrested in Spokane after allegedly starting a bunch of fires. Christine Comello was arrested after allegedly starting multiple fires in Spokane. Let's see. The officer also spotted another fire a few blocks away. This was next to an old oil drum under a tree. More units arrived. They detained Comello. She originally lied about her name. But she was wanted on a warrant for something else. So she is in custody. She has been booked for second-degree arson. Federal law enforcement source told lawenforcementtoday.com that the feds are looking into whether some of the cases are linked together and warned there could be more attacks. Quote, we are reacting to a coordinated series of attempts to start fires anywhere and everywhere in Oregon, public and private lands, incorporated and unincorporated areas. By all indications so far, in the preliminary stages of these investigations, there is a coordinated effort on the part of these individuals to start fires in areas that are the least protected and most vulnerable, then slowly working their way into more populated areas and neighborhoods. Please take this information as an advisory for your own account and welfare, and please act in good faith with due diligence to plan accordingly for your safety and the well-being of your community. Okay, that's from federal law enforcement. And we know we have the arrests, and we've seen the video of the arrest. So who do you trust? Well, let's go to PolitiFact. PolitiFact said, Is there some evidence that these left-wing activists are responsible for the wildfires ravaging the West Coast? According to PolitiFact, no. Officials have dispelled the rumors. While investigations are still going or ongoing, the fires appear to be sparked accidentally. First, says PolitiFact, Antifa stands for anti-fascist. It's not a singular group, but rather a broad coalition of activists, including communists, anarchists, and socialists, that have been around for decades. Oh. While Antifa activists have used violence to achieve their goals in the past, experts say most of the movement's organization is not rooted in any kind of physical confrontation. Still, over the past few years, people ranging from President Trump to everyday social media users have blamed Antifa for acts of violence. In Portland, demonstrations began in late May after Floyd's death and have continued for more than 100 days. Antifa activists have been present at some of the protests, On some of the several occasions, protesters have started fires around the city, but it's unclear what Antifa supporters have been responsible for when it comes to those fires. And there's no evidence that they're behind dozens of wildfires burning from California to Washington. We do know that the El Dorado fire was brought on by something that was doing a gender reveal, which has got to be proud. We do know that several of the fires were started by lightning strikes. A power line was downed in Washington state and in Oregon. But there's nothing to any of these arrests at all. So in Dexter, when the firefighters responded to a fire at the Dexter State Recreation Area, and they caught a guy, a middle-aged man with arm tattoos, lighting two fires in the bushes. He said it looks like he was intentionally starting fires to add to the chaos. Are we supposed to ignore that? Are we supposed to ignore the arson in Spokane and in Washington State? Are we supposed to ignore this? They arrested a woman, charged her with arson in California near Baronda on Highway 101. She was accused of intentionally starting fires. Now, what's the update there? And who do we trust? How about Trooper Ryan Burke on Twitter that said Trooper Moorfield caught a pedestrian who was lighting matches in the grass. A citizen observed and alerted 911 after a short foot chase. He's in custody and on his way to jail for attempted arson. And then in Sweet Creek, you have a 44-year-old man arrested on suspicion of arson in the wildfire that burned nearly 400 acres. So again, I ask you, who do you believe? If you don't know who to believe, well, there's step one of what will be on the chalkboard on Wednesday. It's really critical that you know what's going on and you know how they want you to react. That's Wednesday on Blaze TV.
A top communications official for Donald Trump has issued a dire warning that leftists are being trained for insurrection and the Democrats will refuse to concede the election. And if Donald Trump refuses to stand down on Inauguration Day, the shooting begins. He is warning of armed revolt. Now, he's not completely wrong. We've already heard from Hillary Clinton saying that Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances. We've heard the story about the war games planned out by Democrats suggesting they will not concede, preferring the West Coast secede from the Union. But there's one big important detail here. The New York Times story about this Trump official, it's about his personal Facebook account, and he did a live event to a very, very small amount of followers. So is it the most important story in the world? Probably not. And perhaps this is the ravings of a madman, paranoid and delusional from seeing endless streams of videos of far leftists engaging in conflict in the streets. He warned that the shooting in Portland, in fact, was just a drill. But maybe it's more than the ravings of a madman. Maybe it's a man with insider information working in the government telling his close personal friends to buy ammo because it's going to get bad. And that's actually what happened. But framing is everything. Of course, the New York Times is just trying to paint it like this guy's crazy. He says he accused the CDC scientists of sedition. Not all of them, many of them. Now, While I don't necessarily know if this is true, and I'll say I think it's definitely over the top, we do know that there is a large group of employees at the CDC who are intersectionalists, far left identitarians who want racism to be declared a national health crisis. Is that this resistance group he's referring to? I don't know. But I can say that the Democrats likely will not concede. The Republicans likely will not concede either. And both liberals and conservatives believe that neither side will accept the results of the election. And that's why I often talk about the potential for civil war. Now, some people have pointed out and said things like there's no ideological line, there's no hard-hitting ideological line for a civil war. Well, in reference to the first civil war, we had slavery. I don't know if that's mandatory or essential to a civil war. I don't know if a civil war will actually happen, but I will tell you this. Many of the naysayers have said to me, Tim, you're being silly. Just because Antifa and the Proud Boys are fighting in the streets doesn't mean there's going to be a civil war. And of course, that's never what I really meant. And I explained this several times. What happens when the ideological split, the crack in the windshield, starts splintering and makes it all the way to the top? At that point, everything splits down the middle. You see, in this organization, the CDC, you have a man saying that they're going to have to kill him, and he believes there is a resistance cell of people trying to undermine Donald Trump. Of course, the mainstream media is saying he's the crazy one. It doesn't matter who's right as far as I'm concerned. What matters is that both sides are pointing the finger at each other, and there are large amounts of people on either side pointing the finger back. At a certain point, I fear there will be a Secret Service agent, a police chief, an FBI high-ranking official, and they'll be looking at two factions and they'll both be yelling, I'm the real president, arrest them. It's almost like that trope in movies where the evil twin says, I'm the real Tim. No, no, he's the evil twin. Who do you decide? Or who do you pick? And so the fear is that come election night, Trump and Biden will both declare victory. Factions within the government will be at odds with each other, and there will be no unified law enforcement, in which case it's your guess is as good as mine as to who wins. But it may come down, as Matt Taibbi said, to a couple vehicles rushing towards a police station, two men jumping out, yelling to the police captain, arrest that man. Or I'm paraphrasing. It was something like that. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Maybe this guy's just off his rocker, right? So let's read the story and see what he's actually talking about. Before we get started, however, head over to timcast.com/donate if you'd like to support my work. There are many ways you can give. There is a P.O. box if you'd like to send stuff to me personally. But the best thing you can do is share this video. I don't have a big marketing department. I rely on word of mouth. If you think what I'm saying is reasonable and rational and important, sharing really does help spread the word. But also don't forget to like, subscribe, and hit the notification bell. Let's read the story. The New York Times reports Trump health aide alleges broad conspiracies and warns of armed revolt. Michael Caputo, the Assistant Secretary of Health for Public Affairs, told a Facebook audience without evidence that left-wing hit squads were being trained for insurrection. And he accused CDC scientists of sedition. Now, I want to stop here and just point out the hilarity of the mainstream media. He told a Facebook audience without evidence. He has only a few followers. It was his personal Facebook account. And if he's just giving his opinion, do you expect him to pull up evidence like I do every single video? You see, this is why I do what I do. I used to actually just host a regular video and do edits. No, no, no. You got to have evidence for everything. All right, all right. Here's the story. They say the top communications official at the powerful cabinet department in charge of combating the coronavirus accused career government scientists on Sunday of sedition in their handling of the pandemic, and warned that left-wing hit squads were preparing for an armed insurrection after the election. Michael Caputo, 58, the Assistant Secretary of Public Affairs at the Department of Health and Human Services, said without evidence that the CDC was harboring a resistance unit determined to undermine President Trump. Let's do a fact check on that. Is there a resistance unit? What does that even mean? How do you even fact check that? I don't know. That's kind of ridiculous. I can tell you this. CDC employees call out agency's toxic culture of racial aggressions from July 13th. They say more than 1,200 current employees at the CDC have signed a letter calling for the federal agency to address ongoing and recurring acts of racism and discrimination against black employees, NPR has learned. In the letter addressed to CDC Director Robert Redfield and dated June 30th, the authors put their call for change in the context of the coronavirus's pandemic disproportionate impact on black people and the killings of George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, and Rayshard Brooks. NPR obtained a copy of the letter, which is published below. Quote, in light of recent calls for justice across this country and around the world, we, as dedicated public health professionals, can no longer stay silent to the widespread acts of racism and discrimination within the CDC that are, in fact, undermining the agency's core mission. Well, it doesn't necessarily prove that there is a sleeper unit or, you know, resistance unit, whatever, opposing Trump. It does show, however, that there is a large portion of people at the CDC, just over 10%, who adhere to the leftist ideology and are pushing left-wing talking points. While that doesn't mean it's a coordinated unit, it does suggest there are going to be individuals in the CDC, by any means necessary, decided they will stop Trump. That's the saying for many of these Antifa types and many of these ideologues. Let's read more. They say, Mr. Caputo, who has faced criticism for leading efforts to warp CDC weekly bulletins to fit Trump's pandemic narrative, suggested that he personally could be in danger. Quote, you understand, they're going to have to kill me. And unfortunately, I think that's where this is going. Mr. Caputo, a Trump loyalist installed by the White House in April, told followers in a video he hosted live on his personal Facebook page. They say he has 5,000 Facebook friends, and the video has been viewed more than 850 times. Oh, 850 people heard a guy say this. And this is news, New York Times? Come on, why am I talking about this? Okay. I think the New York Times is reaching really far to try and come up with a story. And I find myself in a position where I'm questioning whether or not I should even be talking about it because 850 people heard this guy say this. But this does provide an example of something I've long feared. Whether it's widespread or not, elements within the federal government are at odds with each other, are accusing each other of being bad or evil or just amoral, whatever, at odds, you know, resisting the president. So what happens when these people at the CDC who oppose this guy, what happens when there's no clear winner of the election? Certainly, I hope that the resistance just stops. They won't. They won't stop. They've said they won't stop. And Kamala Harris said they should not let up. So why would they? It's been going on for months. The issue here is that these people are in the highest level of government. They just haven't started yet necessarily. We've already seen in Oregon, an actual Democrat staffer was arrested for rioting. They say Mr. Caputo delivered his broadside against scientists, the media, and Democrats after a spate of news reports over the weekend that detailed his team's systematic interference in the CDC's official reports. Let me stop there. We could frame it the other way, that this guy was trying to stop bunk science from getting pushed out. In fact, he actually said that. He goes on to point out that they're holier than thou using bad science. Now, they do mention this quote. They say Mr. Caputo on Sunday complained on Facebook that he was under siege by the media and said that his physical health was in question and his, quote, mental health has definitely failed. I don't like being alone in Washington, he said, describing, quote, shadows on the ceiling in my apartment. They're alone. Shadows are so long. He then ran through a series of conspiracy theories, culminating in a prediction that Mr. Trump will win re-election, but his Democratic opponent, Biden, will refuse to concede. Quote, and when Donald Trump refuses to stand down at the inauguration, the shooting will begin, he said. The drills that you've seen are nothing. If you carry guns, buy ammunition, ladies and gentlemen, because it's going to be hard to get. Wow. Bold. Despite the criticisms of his team's interference with the CDC, Caputo said he expected to remain in his post because Mr. Trump supported him. Quote, I'm not going anywhere. I swear to God, as God is my witness, I am not stopping. What do you think the left is saying in response to things like this? He said this. Mr. Caputo suggested, without evidence, that the August killing of a Trump supporter in Portland by an avowed supporter of Antifa was part of a broader left-wing plot to target the administration's supporters. Quote, remember the Trump supporter who was shot and killed? That was a drill. The New York Times says he needs evidence, and he definitely does, I'm not going to believe that this guy's correct. I think there are leftists who are training. I think there is a high potential for civil conflict. And I think the New York Times wants to frame this as Donald Trump's going crazy. Oh, his staffers are nuts. Well, that will only make things worse. Trump's supporters and his loyal base are going to side with him. And it's all about framing. The New York Times asserted without evidence. What? How many things? All the time. Got us into a war in Iraq. So how many people are going to believe the New York Times? A lot. And a lot won't. And therein lies the bigger problem, the fractured realities. Is Trump the evil fascistic dictator? No, obviously, of course not. Is this guy getting over the top? And you know, yeah, maybe, maybe. But maybe he's not really, maybe he's being hyperbolic. Maybe he's pointing to the CDC story I just showed you, and he's just saying, look at these people, this resistance group. Maybe the New York Times is trying to take him literally when he's mostly being figurative and exaggerating. Either way, there are going to be elements within the government that oppose each other. And what do we do when the two vehicles rush to the Secret Service and they pull, you know, Biden and Trump both point, I'm the president, arrest this man. I don't know. Maybe it won't happen, but maybe it will. The Atlantic. The Democrats may not be able to concede. If Trump wins, especially after losing the popular vote, the left may draw the wrong conclusions. From Shadi Hamid for The Atlantic. Well, I don't know what to tell you guys. I think, you know, people pointed out to me, they say, Tim, you're always saying there's going to be a civil war and blah, blah. You've been saying it for years, Tim. And I'm like, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. I'm just a dude who complains about things on the internet. All right, that's about it. Okay, I read things and I try and fact check them and I complain about the bad news, like the bad journalism. You know, bad news is bad, you know, whatever. But how many stories like this do we have to get before you're like, maybe people will not accept the results and there will be nothing past 2020. Maybe Donald Trump will win. And maybe Joe Biden will say no. And both sides will declare themselves the victors. Maybe Joe Biden wins. Maybe Trump says no. Maybe all that matters at the end, both sides say, I'm the real government. And then what does the Secret Service do? What would anyone do? Civil war, right? Let's read the story from The Atlantic. This is the era of expecting the worst while hoping for the merely tolerable. Some might say that the worst is already happening. He goes on to mention the pandemic. He says, I don't believe Donald Trump is a fascist or a dictator in the making, and I don't believe America is a failed state. I find myself truly worried about only one scenario, that Trump will win re-election, and Democrats and others on the left will be unwilling, even unable, to accept the results. A loss by Joe Biden under these circumstances is the worst case, not because Trump will destroy America, he can't, but because it is the outcome most likely to undermine faith in democracy, resulting in more of the social unrest and street battles that cities including Portland and Seattle have seen in recent months. For this reason, strictly law and order Republicans who have responded in dismay to scenes of rioting and looting have an interest in Biden winning, even if they could never bring themselves to vote for him. I reject this 100%. I will not allow terrorism to dictate my vote. And when they keep coming out saying the only election result that will be peaceful is Joe Biden being handed power by Trump peacefully. They're telling us that unless Joe Biden landslides, there'll be violence. Why? Because they're going to bring it to us. And my response, if that's the narrative you want to roll with, bring it on. I am not going to vote for someone under duress. In fact, you try and threaten me, I'll do the opposite of what you say. Don't play games. Many people may be scared, however. I think it's so outrageous that they would repeatedly put out these narratives in the media, even this one, that if Joe Biden doesn't win, the violence will come. Trump says the same thing. Well, Trump says if Joe Biden wins, then you'll get the violence. Both sides are saying it, to be completely fair. Trump says if Biden wins, you're going to see violence and rioting in the street. So pick your side. I think Trump is correct. I think Joe Biden is weak. And I think one of the only reasons we've seen the rioting slow down is because Trump had Oregon State Police deputized and the feds have been going after these people. I don't believe Joe Biden would do that. Joe Biden's supporting the rioters. Now, okay, fine. He called it the violence. He said rioting, looting, and destruction. All right, we got to get specific. Joe Biden's campaign staff bailed many of these people out. Kamala Harris fundraised. She tweeted out saying, hey, donate money. They supported Black Lives Matter over and over again. And let me make one thing clear. He can condemn the violence, but when he supports the organization that supports the violence, I don't want to hear it. You're playing games. He's just trying to say what he thinks he needs to say to win votes. But he has supported the movement, and the movement has been violent. If he wants to speak out against it, he can call them out by name. Until then, I think his words are meaningless. Here's what The Atlantic goes on to say. In presidential elections, once is a fluke, twice is a pattern. I struggle to imagine how, beyond utter shock, millions of Democrats will process a Trump victory. A loss for Biden, after having been the clear favorite all summer, would provoke mass disillusion with electoral politics as a means of change at a time when disillusion is already dangerously high. If Democrats can't beat a candidate as unpopular as Trump during a devastating pandemic and a massive economic contraction, then are they even capable of winning presidential elections anymore? Democracy, after all, is supposed to self-correct after mistakes, particularly mistakes as egregious as electing Donald Trump, whose unfitness for the nation's highest office makes itself apparent with almost every passing day. The media is responsible, completely responsible. Any disillusion is because the media kept saying, we'll win, the Democrats will win, Trump can't win. On Bill Maher, Ann Coulter said, when asked of the Republican candidates who has the best chance of winning, she said, Donald Trump, and they all laughed. Ha ha ha, we're so much smarter than you. And what happened? Trump won. And that created a shock so hard to the psyche of many of these Americans, they snapped, developing instantaneous Trump derangement syndrome. You know why? Imagine if your entire world was built upon the lies being fed to you from mainstream media, from CNN and MSNBC and all these other outlets, and you believed it. Fox News is evil, they cried. And you believed it. And they were wrong. And your brain shattered like a block of ice being dropped out a window, right to the floor. Nothing made sense anymore. Everything you were told just didn't happen. How could Donald Trump have won? All of the bad things they said about him, and he won. These people have lost it. They have Trump derangement syndrome. There are many people who are uninitiated, aren't paying attention. They'll probably vote for Joe Biden. Some of them will probably vote for Trump. Many others have become deranged because their entire world was shattered. And the only thing they could do was cling to psychotic narratives like Trump must be working for Russia. The only way he could have won is if Vladimir Putin controls everything. And Rachel Maddow was more than happy to oblige in that derangement, spewing vile, nonsensical conspiracy for years, of which they're bringing back. So I can't tell you what you should expect. Go buy ammo. I did, but not because of civil war, because the riots are literally happening. And I can't rely on the police for my safety because they're trying to defund the police. Let's read a little bit more. Liberals had enough trouble accepting the results of the 2016 election. In some sense, they never really came to terms with it. The past 4 years have witnessed the continuous urge to explain why the inexplicable, to find solace in the fact that voters betrayed them. How could so many of their fellow Americans side with a racist and a fabulist, someone so callous and seemingly without empathy? It was easier to think that those Americans had been lackeys, manipulated and deceived, or that they simply hadn't understood what was best for them. Moreover, the Russians interfered. That tipped the balance. It's the only way to explain it. Well, maybe there will be a civil war, maybe there won't. But as much as there's derangement on the left, let's just call it this, excitement. The left is going to claim they're correct. Trump is Russian. He must be stopped. How about this? Donald Trump wins in a landslide. But then evidence emerges from some resistance intelligence agency members saying that the Russians interfered again and Joe Biden's the clear winner. How do you clear that up? It's one thing if you have a legal apparatus like mail-in voting is bunk and some votes weren't counted and then people argue over them. That can be resolved. What if it's a wild and unhinged conspiracy theory about Russia? You can't prove that. You'll never resolve that. You will get, what do we get from the first, from Russiagate? Mindless testimony on people's opinions. Garbage. Nothing uncovered. What did we get from Ukrainegate? Bunk garbage. Just people coming up and giving their opinions. And that's what'll happen. So what's their game? Their game is that Nancy Pelosi or whoever's the Speaker of the House becomes president, and then neither Trump nor Biden wins, and we have an interim president while we do another hearing. I don't know. Because I have to imagine. With itchy trigger fingers, some right-wingers predict the next civil war has finally arrived. There are militias that will not just sit back and say, okay. So when we have this Trump official say these leftist insurrectionists are planning armed revolt, sure. And so are right-wing militias planning to defend the Constitution or to revolt as well. I've heard the rhetoric that if they try and steal this from Trump, patriots will defend his administration. And we can hear the same rhetoric now from about the left. And many leftists are saying revolution, nothing less. So I wonder what this all really means in terms of what happens after November. Well, in just 3 days, we will see the White House siege. Adbusters who announced the White House siege, they're saying it will be nonviolent. A nonviolent protest. They put out this image. 50 days of nonviolent protests, and boy, do they try really hard, but then put White House siege in all red. So I responded, the White House siege will be nonviolent. Well, they are calling for nonviolence. Regardless of their intention in calling for this, it will likely be violent. I think you'd have to be insane to think there won't be violence, because right-wing groups are going to come out to counter the White House siege, and left-wing groups are going to come out, and we all know what that means. It means liberals and conservatives both believe the opposing side will refuse to accept November's election results. And there you go. The conspiracies are running wild. The lies, the excitement, the narrative, everything. People are gearing up for war. There's a couple. Look, ammo is being sold out. And I think the easiest way to explain it is that people are scared. We had a pandemic and then we had mass rioting. What if ammo is being purchased like crazy because people aren't so scared about riots, but they're more scared about civil conflict? I live in a very blue area, very Democrat area. And the gun store is sold out of basically everything. I mean, they have got some guns, and they got birdshot, but most of the other ammo just not there. I wonder what that means. Let's say it again. If both sides are feeling the exact same way, if both sides have individuals operating in the government, that's where things break down. I was told a couple of years ago when I said it feels like civil war is coming, I was told by several people the government will never allow that to happen. And it was a funny response. I was like, what do you mean the government won't allow it to happen? Well, the security state is too powerful. You realize the security state is comprised of individuals. So what happens when 50% is for Trump and 50% is for Biden, and they both start fighting with each other? Congratulations, the factions have reached the federal government. So look, maybe this guy, Michael Caputo, just a crazy, crazy guy. He's just one guy. He's nuts. He was talking to only 850 people. Big deal. Not a whole lot. What if he's not? What if he's not crazy? What if he's an insider who has access to government information? And so he's speaking up and telling you what he's seeing in the government. Well, that's worrisome. What I find interesting is that if a witness came forward and gave let's put it this way. If someone working at the CDC came to the New York Times and then started telling them, I work for the CDC, Donald Trump's loyalists are disrupting our science, what would the media do? They'd say, boom, mic drop. We got the story, the bombshell, Donald Trump undermining the CDC. Oh, wait, it's literally what they did. What would happen if a Trump official came out to the press and said there are crazy, unhinged leftists who are forming groups? They'd say, get out of here, you're nuts. Both without evidence. So how about this? The New York Times said without evidence that Michael Caputo was undermining the CDC. It's all about framing. And the media takes a clear framing on the side of the left. So if there will be a disillusioned group of Democrats preparing for armed insurrection, it will be because the media told them so. What that means for the rest of this country? Well, I'll tell you what. I have another prediction. I think it's possible we pass through this unscathed. I think it's possible that Donald Trump wins an enormous landslide. Hear me out. The Democrats then, seeing the enormous landslide and not knowing how to process it, go nuts. There will be some big Law and Order and Insurrection Act moments, but the United States will hold, and ultimately we'll transition into an internet era of politics. You see, the Democrats that are freaking out, Joe Biden, they're establishment. That's the establishment. The people are supporting the establishment, or they are the establishment. The media is defending the Democrats and going after Trump. But maybe the polls are all wrong. Maybe they're not accurately reaching out to the internet age. And it seems like we may be entering a new world where you have two factions. On this side, where you are, we read the news. You watch videos like mine, you hear what I have to say, and you watch other creators, and you get a diverse set of opinions. On the left, whatever the media says, the existing narrative is law. Well, that means Donald Trump is the candidate for people who are spending their time online and doing their own research, for better or for worse. And the people supporting Biden are those who just believe whatever CNN tells them. Well, CNN is going to collapse. The mainstream media is dying. We may be looking at a transition in our information absorption and our society for the better. Donald Trump is just the Model T of the internet presidents. Maybe the Democrats will have a crushing defeat because the mainstream media has lost touch. Their ratings are meaningless, and people are actually watching content like this. I'll tell you what. As of right now, I personally have gotten over 100 million views in the past month. 1 month. 100 million. You also have the likes of Joe Rogan and Ben Shapiro, probably also getting hundreds of millions. And Ben Shapiro and the Daily Wire, they're consistently the top Facebook shared stories. They produce the top shared stories. So what does that mean? Maybe the polls are all wrong because they're polling establishment individuals. Maybe what we're really seeing is that those on the internet will overwhelmingly support Trump. And then among establishment individuals, people still watching mainstream media, it's evenly divided, meaning the Democrats have like a quarter to 30% support from the registered voters. Or the establishment is right. We're all wrong. We're crazy internet people. What do we know? That could be the case. At any rate, I don't know. I don't know. But I think my more hopeful outcome is that we are going through a hard transition, and that after 2020, we will move towards populist candidates due to the internet. It's a new phenomenon. It's a new technology. And we'll see how it impacts us. I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up at youtube.com/TimCastNews at 6 p.m. Thanks for hanging out, and I will see you all then.